Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, grant us wisdom and discernment, guide and direct us, and protect us so that we act and live in your will. In Jesus' name, and amen. Every one of us is choosing how we will live each and every day. We choose if our thoughts are about ourselves or about God, Jesus, and what he wants. You might even ask, how can I serve God today? Now, I believe we serve God with our heart and our mind and our prayer, and also with our time and our money. And will we be rewarded for how we serve and how we give? Yes, of course we will. Matthew 5:11 tells us we will. And 2 Corinthians 9:7 tells us God loves us and he loves a cheerful giver. And look around. There are so many worthy Christian groups and ministries who need what you can give. May God direct you in that area and then do what God puts on your mind and your heart. There is an acronym of JOY, and JOY stands for Jesus, others, and you. And if you get it out of order, you don't have it. Well, notice that Jesus is first, and now when things are changing from what our normal life has been, we get to look at how things are going to be in the future. So we get to look at the world and what is going on in it. Yeah, and that includes the vax nation. So that's what we do. We seek to have things get back to normal because that's what we want, and we are aware that they might never return to normal because that's what a lot of opinion is saying. Well, we do have to be aware that we live in this world, and that's a part of it. There's hype all over the place, media hype, government hype, and we just get to live and keep living. And about how we are threatened by this or that, and I want to tell you a little story about leprosy, because leprosy is really scary, right? Well, the parents of my mother's best friend were a medical doctor and a nurse, and they were strong Catholic Christians, so they wanted to serve others. So both of them, they both served others by going into and directing a leper colony for 8 years. And in 8 years, neither one of them got leprosy. So that was a long time ago. It was in the 1920s, so almost 100 years ago. And a lot of things have they changed, or we've gotten more knowledge about medical things? Yes, it's true. But the point here is that as serious as COVID might be, it's nowhere near as bad as leprosy might be. So the example here is a doctor and a nurse both treating people with leprosy for 8 years. And somehow in those 8 years, they did not get leprosy. So how scared should we be? I don't know. We've got a lot of people who are just so very scared that they are ready to take an experimental injection of a vaccine. Well, make your own choices and get your own consequences. I don't know. I do know people who are very pro-vaccine, and they're so in favor of it that they also have had 3 booster shots. Well, that's okay. We all have our own individual choices, and I hope it works well for them. I know there's a lot of controversy about this one guy, Dr. Michael Malone, and he's interesting because he has had several patents on the mRNA vaccine. And we've heard him say that people should not take the mRNA vaccine, and especially children should not take it. But, you know, there's a lot of controversy about him. There are doctors after doctors that are saying he's wrong. I've listened to a few of them. Their arguments, they are not so good in my opinion. But we all get to look, we all get to choose, and we all get to do what we think is right. I just think there are uncertainties, lots of uncertainties in life. And even while we live or while we die by what we do, because driving is not completely safe, crossing the street is not completely safe, and taking a vaccine is not completely safe either. So we make the best decisions that we can, and we try to stay healthy. Healthy. I think about those airline pilots and those professional soccer players who have just plain dropped dead. How long after the vaccine was it? Controversy, a lot of controversy, but it's a question. And so I just say, look into these things and you try to understand it so that you can make the best decision that you know how. And I also think it's good to be prepared to meet our Maker at any time. Have things settled in your life. And the biggest part of that is to know Jesus. You can also have your earthly business settled about where your earthly possessions go were you to die unexpectedly. But there's that's, I think, what we do. We try to prepare for, well, it will happen one day. It just, we don't want it to happen too soon. Huh. I know I talked about what some people think about the vaccine. It's, I did that on a previous broadcast, on the 10/23/21 broadcast. That was at minute 49. And it's just that there are lots of opinions. But we have to be aware of the different opinions so that we can make an educated decision. We do the best we can. I do know that there has been plans throughout history to, well, let's say eliminate the people who are undesirable. That's always been the case. Sometimes they have been an enemy, where one army will go against another. And sometimes it is as it was with the Nazis. They had a plan to eliminate millions of imperfect people or troublesome people. And they had very detailed plans on how to do that. They were real planners. For instance, one of the things that they did was to circulate rumors among the Jews that the Jews would be going on a train trip and therefore they should bring their valuables in case they needed to resettle. Bring their gold, yes, and bring some good food so they could enjoy it, yes. And so the concentration camps had a certain supply of valuable things and good food coming into their camp because of that well-placed rumor. Well, there's all sorts of pressures working here and there within our system and within the world system, and we get to seek to understand it and work within that system. The supplies of the Jews, which meant the valuable things like gold and coins and good food, they were all brought to the camps, and they had the other Jews go through the clothes and the belongings of those who were put into the chambers. And they were treated very well. They had extra food and good clothes, and they were allowed to live as long as they did a good job at finding the supplies and the coins and such as that. What a system! What a system. I'm pretty sure that we, well, it's an argument about what we have in place today to encourage us to do one thing or another. And there certainly is a number of people, oh, you could call them extremists if you want, but they do have plans. They have plans to, for instance, reduce the population of the world. And that goes back to the Malthusian plan, which was right close to 1800, where people would be allowed to live a good life, and then they would have something happen, like war or famine, to kill them en masse. And that way, there would be enough food to feed the population of the world. Well, that was the argument, but there's plenty of people living today who still see that as an argument, that they want to limit the population of the earth so that people can live. It's a real argument, and it came from, well, it even before the Malthusian plan, but it has continued. In the last 50 years, there have been people who have had a similar idea of that Malthusian plan. Like in 1974, there was the National Security Memorandum 200. And that was pushed through by Henry Kissinger. And there are people who have that idea, and they are putting it into practice today to limit the world population. And that's what that Memorandum 200 talked about, that it was a national security issue that was to be put into effect through our foreign policy. Well, a lot of people have had that idea. They come about it in different ways. Let's see, who are some of the people? Jacques Cousteau was one of them. Ted Turner was another one, and Prince Philip. They have all spoken on record publicly of having that idea that we had to limit the world population. And even the Georgia Guidestones, they were put up in 1979, and they have those 10, oh, they are called commandments, but they are their 10 rules. And the first one is to limit the world population to 500 million. And if that is their true goal, then there are 7 billion people on planet Earth that would have to die. It's just astounding. But that is the things that the literature suggests They have an idea that it might happen through famine, or better yet, it might happen through a pandemic. And I remember hearing people talk about the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic. That from time to time has come up, and now today it is again a topic of comparing COVID to the Spanish flu. I do remember it was about 1998 where there were several scientists on a government-approved plan to go to Alaska to locate people who had died in the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic so that a frozen virus could be recovered. And they, after three trips, they did recover the frozen virus from a body. Well, as I recall, it was 2003 I don't know where I read it, but I read it that they had successfully mapped the gene sequence of the 1918 Spanish flu virus. And we can only wonder why, but they did it. And I just think of the research that we have done. I think of the research that Fauci's National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease has done. Why, they have done plenty of research in the United States, and then when some of it was considered to be against the law, they went to Wuhan, and they paid for Wuhan to do some of that research. So lots of people have noticed this. Oh, and of course, lots of people say, no, it's not true, but we get to figure out, based on the understanding we have, what is true and what is not. Well, there are long-term implications to those kind of studies. Why would they even do it? Well, smart people have lots of ideas, and so I think it's good to listen to different opinions, but it is up to us to have an answer. This virus is a big, big question, and what it does in the human body. There's plenty of people who say the virus is put into the body through the vaccination, and then it weakens our natural immune system, and it reduces the white blood cell count in our body that would fight the bad things in our body. So we have questions, but a lot of people don't have answers because there have been no long-term studies. All the studies are short-term, and so many doctors have opinions, lots of opinions. Why, there are even researchers who have said that the original virus DNA of this COVID has been chopped up and put into the vaccine. Well, I don't know. I've never done anything like that, but there are researchers who have talked about that. They've talked about that happening ever since the 1990s Gulf War syndrome as happening in that. Lots of questions, and we don't know the answer, but we just have to act as wisely as we can. They're complex questions, lots of them. Lots of them. And the questions include, do we give a vaccine like this to our children or to our troops? Well, we just have questions all over the place of what is morally right to do or not. You know, we have a war on terrorism. So when are we supposed to kill those terrorists? Do we kill them if they take refuge in a public place or a mosque? Or what if they have a five-year-old? And they grab them and run. What are we supposed to do? These are all questions of where does our ethics direct us? And it's something we all have to consider. I talked about using aborted fetal cells to develop vaccines. And that is certainly a question. Let's see, I talked about that on the October 20th 2021 broadcast. That was at minute 49, if anybody is interested. But we have things that are going on that question what we should be doing morally. And there was a study last week put out by the University of Vermont, and it was saying that living, self-replicating robots were being created by combining heart cells with the African frog Xenovis. That's the name of it. And so there were millimeter-sized, self-replicating bots, I guess you call them. So we all have these questions to make. Oh, and if you want to look up that study, you could look up the lead author, Sam Craigman. But there's a lot of things going on in our world, and some of the things are so hard to believe. Are the DNA fragments really chopped up? Or do we really make self-replicating robots? Or are there robotic people right now? I mean, this is a real question. Well, who's been to Disneyland? And do you remember that robot Abraham Lincoln? That was put up in 1965. So you can only imagine how much progress there have been made since then. Well, another indicator of the progress is in right about 2016, China put some 24-hour broadcasters on their news service. For 24 hours, there would be a male and a female robot talking, and those robots would have the appropriate proper lip and facial expressions. So these things are going on. Who is to say that there can't be someone with a latex face that looks like a real person? And the AI technology can perfectly mimic a person's voice. So we can only guess what's going on, but we want somebody to protect us, right? To stand up for our rights, and so we need a king. Will this king be a good king or a bad king? So we have to be careful what we authorize other scientists or other political people to do on our behalf. I think, though, the one thing we always want to do, though, is to keep a close relation with God, Jesus. Because whatever happens in our life, we have the lives of other people to be caring about, and we have our own eternal destiny to be concerned about. So that close relation with God, Jesus, is what we always want to have, regardless of what is going on in this world. And we do know that we are getting closer and closer to the end of the age, where the Bible predicts earthquakes and pestilence, that is, epidemics, famine, and more. Well, it's right there in our Bible. So we have these things going on, and of course people want to present fear. Why? So that we will change our behavior. That's just what people do. And it doesn't even have to be something that's a real threat. It just has to be proposed as a real threat. Speaking about a threat, there was the top Iranian general who said, "We will strike America with great force." Well, we've heard that story before. Iran has always talked about striking America, the great Satan. And they've talked about striking Israel, the smaller Satan. They've been doing that for years, but what do we decide is a real threat and what not? Well, that's a good question, and that's why we have to keep looking and examining what is going on around us and what is truth. I think about Iran, though, and I think about the secret enrichment of uranium that they have been doing for so many years. And I think about, Obama having given Iran $400 million for releasing the hostages. And then again, Obama gave Iran $1.7 billion. That was in Swiss francs and euros. Now, I know it's been about 7 years, but just think about all that money and what it could have been used for. $1.7 billion. That's 1,700 million dollar bills. That's a lot of money. And you know how upset we all got, don't you? All of America was not upset about it. And you have to wonder why. Why did America and Americans not respond? Well, I think of one thing. It's an argument. Of course, that's what we do. We look at possibilities. We don't know the real truth behind any of it. But here is an argument that we have been putting fluoride into the water of all of America's largest cities. Oh, and smaller ones, too. And you know what fluoride does? Fluoride makes a person docile and not react. Putting fluoride in water, well, in much greater quantities, has always been done when a country has taken over another country. It's just common practice. That's what the military does. That's what the Nazis did when they took over areas of Europe. They put fluoride in the water. And so that is something going on today with our water supply. We put fluoride in the water. It is said so that we will reduce tooth decay, but that is another issue. The point is, we as an American people are not responding to what goes on in our country and that our country does. I think of Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who wrote about the gulags in Russia. And, boy, they had lots of fluoride put into the water of those gulags, which were, well, you could call them work camps or you could call them death camps in Russia. That's where they put the dissidents. And Alexander Solzhenitsyn was one of them. He wrote about what was going on in Russia. So things are going on. People are responding a little bit, but there's a lot of responding that we're not doing. And I do wonder if it's because of the fluoride. Not that I know. I don't know. Things are going on all over the world, and people are excited. In Kazakhstan, in the Soviet Union, there are things going on. Well, the gas prices almost doubled in Kazakhstan. And at the same time, civil liberties were being withheld. And so, thousands, tens of thousands of people went out and protested and demonstrated. And of course, the gas price doubling was a big thing. Well, they responded with protests, and some of them were violent protests. In Kazakhstan, the average income is $10,000 a year, so it's not very much. And when the gas prices double, it makes a difference to them. And so they responded, they reacted. And so I guess you could be pretty sure that their water wasn't fluoridated. Oh, well, anyway, that's an idea. Lots of people have been arrested. Let's see, 6,000 people have been detained in Kazakhstan, and there have been a few hundred protesters that have been shot and killed. And there have been police there that have been shot and killed also. It's getting to be kind of a hot zone with demonstrations going on and violence. And people shooting each other. Well, one side shooting the other side. That's what's going on over there, as civil rights are being diminished. We'll see what we see. Problems, problems. Oh, and then over there, there's another problem with Ukraine. Ukraine has 90,000 Soviet troops at its border. We can only guess what will happen next. But I do think about its neighbor to the south, Crimea, where that was, let's see, 2014, where Russia went in there with its troops and helped to make that country even more Russian. So there's things going on in that neighborhood of the world, and we think of, well, I think of, wars and rumors of wars going on. And I think of bullies, because bullies like to bully other people to get what they want. Speaking of bullies, do you remember when Trump, well, he threatened Putin. And they had this thing going on in Syria about protecting Syria's facilities and the troops in Syria. But Trump went in and he sent a few cruise missiles into Syria. And I think that Putin is the kind of a bully that he would not forget having been slighted like that. So he probably is not very happy with America. Will he do something? No, not as long as we're strong. U.S. strength is diminishing. I think of also Hong Kong protesters. Do you remember a few years ago how when those protests were starting, they played the U.S. national anthem and they had posters of America's founding fathers in the streets? There were protests all over to strengthen democracy in Hong Kong. But after time, what has happened? Well, 2 years later, now Hong Kong's last pro-democracy newspaper has been raided. It has had its equipment confiscated and its information and computers confiscated. The last pro-democracy newspaper in Hong Kong is now out of business. So, the tyrants are winning. What do you think about that? And will that happen here? How are we going to show our love of our neighbor? Because that's a part of what we do. And that's always a question. Is it our country? Is it their country? How do we love them and still let them be free without going in and taking over their country? Boy, that's been a certain concern or dialogue for years now. How do we show our love to another person in another country? I think the big thing is with our missionaries. We have our missionaries that share Jesus Christ with them. I know there's lots of people who think that it's the work of the Holy Spirit and that we don't have to do hardly anything. Yes, if the Spirit speaks to us, then we do something. But, oh, this is a big question, isn't it? We all have a different opinion. Some say we should do nothing and just watch our neighbor's house burn, for instance. Oh, well, that's a real, oh, not a good example. But there are people who think that we don't have to do anything. We just watch the Spirit move, watch God work, and that's what we are here to do. Well, I don't know about that, because I think of the instances in the Bible, like James 2:20 that says faith without works is dead. So it's a question. And there's also the example in 2 Kings 6:16, where Elijah asked God to open the eyes of his servant so that his servant could see that there were more good spiritual warrior angels than there were enemy spirit warrior angels. And so the idea was fear not. fear not. That's been repeated so many times in our scripture. We have examples about how God watches over his own, and he does. But it's not always in the way we expect. God watches over his own in ways that surprise us. Well, we all have different things that we look at or that we see. I think of, there's heaven. Well, Hebrews 12, there's somewhere in there it talks about shaking the earth and heaven. And I do see that is going to happen one more time. And that could be the great earthquake that appears to be coming. And it could be those end of the age things that are written about in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So I think it's fine to get ready for a little bit of shaking. Shaking. Now, in the Aleutian Islands in the last 5 days ago, there were 10 earthquakes in 6 hours. Let's see, there were sixes and fives and fours. But there are earthquakes going on, and we could be due for one any time. And I think about 5 years ago, there was the California Emergency Services guy who said that the southern San Andreas fault was all locked up and ready to go for a big earthquake. So we could have one anytime. Big earthquakes happen, and we can do a little bit to prepare. We prepare for ourselves, we prepare for our neighbor, and we do things that are just sensible to do. Always the question is, how long should we prepared to be without services? Well, I think one of the services that we're going to be without is electricity. And that's just almost for sure, at least for a while. And do you know there's a gas line that crosses the San Andreas Fault? Well, not a gas line, but several gas lines, both petroleum gas and natural gas. And there's 26 times when it crosses the San Andreas Fault. So it's just an example of if there is a great big earthquake, we're not going to have power. We're not going to buy gas for our car. The stores won't have electricity. The banks will shut down. It would be a huge thing, and it would last for what? I don't think months. I think years. That is my opinion. And that's why there's the Office of Emergency Services to tell us that we should get ready, get ready, get ready for something big to happen. And of course, the biggest thing is that we have that relationship with God Jesus, and we always want to keep that strong. So we have things going on. Lots going on in this world, and we seek to understand it and live in ways that are godly. That's really what we do. We have lots of pressures going on around us and things that, well, that people want to change. If you remember, there was the Obamacare back when, a while ago, and there were people who said this would bring in death panels. Well, today we don't have death panels, but we do have people who decide about how to spend the money the best. And you could call that a death panel, but is it? It's a question of how you define things. But the thing is that people are changing and things are changing. Our world is changing, and we had better pay attention to it. We need to respond when we can and talk about things and then respond to the people who can do something about it, and that's our politicians. You know that there are people who have an idea of where this world should go. There are people like Joe Biden and Bill Gates and Anthony Fauci. They all have ideas about where humanity should go. And it's not always what you and I want, that's for sure. So we get a grasp of what they are trying to achieve, and then we have a response. That's, I think, what we do. We have this vaccine going on where there is so much of those COVID going on in vaccinated people. The numbers vary, and there is a variation from just under 50% to 70% of the people who have been vaccinated get the COVID virus in their body, and they catch COVID. Sure, they say it's not that severe, but there is something going on with this virus. You can guess what it is. About it was started as a... Well, I've talked about that too, as a war mechanism to cause us to be weak and deplete our resources. So there are big, important people who tell us what we're supposed to do. Like the Wall Street Journal just reported that in Quebec, they are going to tax everyone who is not vaccinated, and there is a huge difference in the range of how much people should be taxed if they refuse to be vaccinated. It ranges from $3,000 to $20,000 per year. That's the opinion of some people. And there are 15% of the population in Quebec that is not vaccinated. Well, I wonder if the courts will agree with a vaccination or a non-vaccination tax. A lot going on. Things are changing in our world. Where will it end up? And how come there is so much pressure on people to vaccinate? Why are the authorities so desperate that everyone is vaccinated? You know, they say, you get vaccinated so we can get back to normal. Get vaccinated so you won't get fired. Get vaccinated so you can gather for the holidays. Get vaccinated so you can enroll in school or in your profession. And we will have free gifts for people who vaccinate. Might be a pizza, might be something else. So why is this move so strong to vaccinate people, everyone? Why? It's an experimental vaccine, don't you know? And experimental or not, the U.S. law still says that the vaccine manufacturers cannot be sued if their vaccination causes harm, disability, or death. That was in 1980. It was called the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act of 1986. It's further discussed in 42 U.S. Code 300 AA22. So, did we vote for that? What did the people say? Well, our representatives voted for it, and our representatives want a lot of things that we the people might not want. And you know who's in power? Our representatives are in power. So, I don't know of anybody who voted for the COVID restrictions. 2 years ago, most of 2 years ago, we went along with them when we were supposed to shut down for a few weeks to slow the spread. That's what we agreed to. But even today, we have restrictions still in place. Oh, what's going to happen? Well, a lot of people have died from those breakthrough cases of vaccinated people. And we'll just have to see. Don't know. But it is a question to me. I wonder about how come those healthy people who are vaccinated die There's airline pilots that has happened to, and there are the soccer players that are so healthy, they just have died on the field. What, 10, 12, 11 of them internationally? So, I mean, that is not making sense. And we are searching for the answers of how to do the best we can and to avoid tragedy. That's what we keep seeking to do. The world is going on a course. I know the pressures are so great to be vaccinated. A couple of days ago, my friend told me about a good Christian couple who went to a hospital in London because the husband had to be treated for something, and he had COVID, and, well, they gave him oxygen to help him breathe, but they stopped feeding him. And after 4 days of no food, they decided to leave without approval. And they did after 4 days. And a part of that experience was to have a nurse come running after them and shouting at the cab driver that was there to pick them up, "He can't get into that cab. He has COVID." Yeah, what's going on with that? Well, where is compassion for people to feed them when they're in the hospital? Where is the compassion between the patient and hospital relationship? It is a good question. And I want to tell you about a doctor, a physician named Pearson Perry. He was on a video put out by America Frontline Doctors, and he tells about how the CARES Act has changed the practice of medicine in America. So he goes over this and talks about how it has weakened patient rights and has changed the certain elements of Medicare and Medicaid. And if you recall, the CARES Act was passed in 2020 as a response to the fear that people had of COVID. It was also called the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act. And it approved $2.2 trillion to be spent. And $2.2 trillion is a whole lot of debt to accumulate. For a comparison, I like to have my million, billion, and trillion seconds. A million seconds is 12 days. A billion seconds is 32 years. And a trillion seconds is 32,000 years. And our government just put us into debt $2.2 trillion. Well, that was 2020. So what's going on here? We have this CARES Act that is doing all sorts of things. Oh, let me tell you. Here's what that doctor said. He said the CARES Act pays for services and bonuses to be paid to hospitals if they do these things. One is offer a COVID test free when the patient arrives. Next, a payment if they are admitted with COVID. Next, a payment if they are put on remdesivir. Next, a bonus if they are placed on a mechanical ventilator. And then a 20% bonus if the death certificate says they died of COVID. There's an additional bonus for the coroner. So that doctor, Peterson Pierre, who is with America Frontline Doctors, he estimates that all of these bonuses generate close to 1 $100,000 to be paid if a person has COVID. Pretty interesting. So when we think of people who are suffering from COVID, is it for the love of money? Is that what's driving this everything towards COVID? Well, it certainly is a tragedy. It is a spiritual battle, and it is tragic, taking place right now in all of our lives, both the civilian lives and the military lives. But all the people who are in the Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, and they are being, do I call it encouraged or do I call it forced to be vaccinated? In a way, it's an effort to get people to leave the military who would object to certain policies. Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. And then there was a friend of a friend in Oregon who requested monoclonal antibodies for his COVID treatment, and he was refused. The hospital staff said because monoclonal antibodies were being reserved for minorities. Very interesting. It's as though we are intentionally being divided as a nation, where these divisions will not let us fight against a common enemy if we only see divisions first. These are truths. They are harsh truths. They are uncomfortable and even dangerous. And we had better search out where our battle lies. And yes, pray to God that He does protect us and that He does fight for us. But also we have a part to play in it. You know how we all sing that song, "Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever." Well, victory means that there is a battle. If there is no battle, there is no victory, and we are in a spiritual battle. And the question that I would ask is, are you going to surrender, or are you going to fight the good fight? We all have this choice, and some of us it happens every day. Some of us it's every week or every decade. It's all different. But our world is changing all around us, and what are we going to do to be a good and godly part of it? The world is changing. Why? In Sweden, you know, they hardly use cash anymore. Everybody has a chip in Sweden. In Canada, now, that just happened, to travel by train, you need a little yellow sticker that shows that you have been vaccinated and approved for travel. Yes, of course, history people will be reminded of the little sticker that the Jews had to wear in Nazi Germany and other Nazi-controlled countries. Well, we have to be aware. We have to watch out what's going on, and we know how to respond to it, right? Do we? Well, we ought to respond at least by having a conversation with other people, at very least, because things are changing, and we ought to be ready for some kind of a change that we don't even know what the change will be. But we have things going on that could lead to shortages. In fact, the Bible tells us famine will happen at the end of the age. So let's get supplies all ready. We still have over 100 ships off the coast of California waiting to unload their roughly 50,000 shipping cargo containers. That's a lot of goods that has been deprived from our use, and we cannot get things. You've noticed the shortages. So we are being deprived of what is normal and what we can expect. So will a real crash occur? It just might, for too many reasons. Will it be to do with COVID? Will it be to do with an earthquake? Will it be to do with an electrical failure, a grid down? All those things can happen, and we don't know what will happen, but we know that it makes sense to prepare. Prepare, of course, with food, with water, with something warm. And I imagine during that time we will be losing weight. So also have the appropriate sizes of clothes that you want. Warm clothes, clothes to stay warm. Without electricity, things would change greatly. And we all have choices to make. What are we going to do? It changes with each one of us. And I don't know what to tell you they are, but I do say we should all pray and study our Bible to learn examples that come out of our Bible. That's what I think would be wise to do. And then we make our choices. Let's make our choices that orient ourselves towards God and not towards man. Let us depend on God and not on man. Let us demonstrate that we belong to Christ Jesus. And so we trust in his immune system. Yes. I do want to remind you that there are so many good ministries around that we want to support. Lots of them. And I don't mind having support either. I welcome everyone to send me a little gift to keep this radio broadcast going. It can be cash, check, or credit card. And I certainly welcome you to contact me about it. So, meanwhile, you can write me with questions that you think ought to be addressed, and we can look into them. Or you can write me for my free preparedness pamphlet. And you could do that by sending it to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And let us remember to pray for one another. In these times, we do need prayer so much. We need to walk with God, and we need God to walk with us. So let us pray for one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Pours out to every man.